from the book of Acts tonight, Acts 28 and 31. 28, 31, the end of the book. And we've heard messages that say it really hasn't ended. It continues on. And thank God the Lord does continue the acts of his power and his miracles, the signs and wonders, and the fulfillment of his word again and again. I'm so thankful that the Lord is still adding to the church. Praise God. Still doing a work through his name. Let's read together Acts 28, verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Praise God. This is the Apostle Paul who appealed to Caesar and is in Rome. And he has the opportunity, even though he's imprisoned, he has the opportunity to preach the kingdom of God, teach the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's confident in that ability and that opportunity. And nobody's telling him to shut up. Nobody's telling him to settle down. Nobody's holding him back. I think the Lord opens a door. And thank God we can have the confidence to walk through that door and know the Lord's going to be waiting on the other side to help you with whatever the challenge might be. Lots of unknowns on those doors, isn't there? But our God is good. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. I want to spend just a few minutes here on the Word of God. The Word of God is so unique. It's not just a book. It's not just words. It's not just what somebody took up a pen and decided to write some kind of fable or legend or tale. We know it's the Word of God. Holy men of God wrote as the Spirit of God moved upon them. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that. It started out with, "And God said." And you find that phrase repeated in Genesis 1, "And God said." Amen. I'm thankful that there's creation that comes from what God said. Something out of nothing. Amazing. And what was the first thing he created? Light. First and foremost, there's light. Praise God. And I'm thankful that it wasn't just physical light in the sense of what you would study in a physics class, but I'm thankful it's powerful in the spiritual aspects that God gives as well. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, the apostle writes about light. Now, his life changed because of light. He thought he was doing everything that he was supposed to do in terms of being a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, and all of the aspects that he could trot out in his spiritual resume and think that he's doing okay. But it was light that brought a change to him and an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so it's right that he would have this statement in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 about light and the reference back to the beginning. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I believe that's a powerful truth that the Lord would add to our experience. And thank God that light continues to shine. It's not a flash bulb. It's not an emergency flashlight that we might have. And thank God that that light is there. And the light will lead us. The light will guide us until we reach that place where the light never goes out. Praise God. Amen. Eternal light. And I'm thankful that his word brought it about. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Thank the Lord. And that identity is so important because we know that it's going to become personal. It's going to become real. It's not just ethereal, cosmic, some idea floating around out there. It's going to be powerful and real. Thank the Lord that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, John would write. And oh my, how incredible that he would be able to be a witness of it and know that Jesus is full of grace and truth and the power of the Lord that would be there. I'm thankful that His Word is what we rely upon and what we believe. Now, that Word spoke everything into existence. He made the stars. You know, it's kind of interesting in Genesis 1, almost like an afterthought. He made the stars also. And we've got a very expensive telescope out there looking at some of these aspects of creation that God just spoke. And there it is. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for it. And our solar system is a very, very small part of our galaxy and the galaxy that we're in, the grand name of the Milky Way galaxy, is just a medium-sized galaxy. There are others that are larger. That's hard to fathom. It's hard to imagine. But in our solar system, everything operates the way it's supposed to. Everything continues the way it's supposed to. Oh, by the way, we spent almost $300 million shooting at an asteroid. Did you know that? And we hit it. Wow. Pretty amazing. $300 million. What could I do with that? Because there's going to be an asteroid. You read Revelation. There's going to be an asteroid that's not going to be shot out of space. Well, praise God. Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. This one deals with the aspect of the continuation of what God spoke into existence and how it's going to continue. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The Amplified renders it, the portion this way, framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God. Amen. So that Word is so powerful, and we thank the Lord for it. We know by atomic fission, which one is it? Anyway, we know that mass can become energy. We burn oil. We light candles. We do these things. Mass becomes energy. When did energy become mass? When God spoke. Amen. And thank God that He is able to make something out of nothing. Amen. And yet, in all of creation and all that He spoke into existence, He wants that personal relationship. That's why the Word became flesh. That's why the apostles could say it dwelt among us. We saw Him. We heard Him. We were witnesses of His glory and His power. Yes. Amen. And thank the Lord. That is a marvelous truth that we can hold on to of God becoming flesh. Just quickly, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. 1 Timothy 3:16. God manifest in the flesh. Thank the Lord that He would be willing to come to His creation. And you would think being exalted, being praised, being crowned king, and all of that. No, we see the treatment. We see how He was received or not received. But thank God we know that He continued His plan so that you and I could be the beneficiaries and know and understand how great His Word is and how He will fulfill it. Praise God. And so that Word brings light. Let me ask you, let me just have you contribute here tonight. What is your favorite verse that speaks about light? Lots of verses about light. Lots of verses about candle and lamps and so on. So which one is your favorite? When you think about the light of God, the light Jesus said that he is of the world. What comes to your mind as far as the Word of God? You don't have to quote the whole thing. Just give the gist of it if that's what you can recall. Brother Mike?
Psalm 104:2, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain.
He wears light. That's amazing, isn't it? How can, you know, how bright would that be? Obviously, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Lord's glory just glowing through him, just shining through him like the strength of the sun. How incredible. Amen. And that's what they saw. That's why Peter could say, we were eyewitnesses. We saw this. Praise God. Other verses about light. Sister Amy. Okay, and you look at lamp and light, and in my thinking, a lamp is not going to show very much light, so I need it for my immediate space, right where I am, my feet. And then a light could go a little bit farther, maybe the circumference of it, 10 feet, and I see a little bit farther. Praise God. His word can illuminate us in that manner, and I thank God that that's how he would fulfill it. Other verses, Sister Phoebe.
Acts 13:47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
All right. So a light that's going to be for everybody. It's not just the Hebrews, who obviously the chosen people of God, and they take that responsibility very, very strongly, because Romans 3 says they're privileged to preserve the Word of God. And we thank the Lord that they were very diligent about that, and very aware of how that Word needs to be preserved. But not just there, to the Gentiles, to everyone. That includes you and me. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that that light is there. Jackson.
When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and in Genesis, when Jesus Christ said, let there be light, and there was light.
All right. And it just a simple statement. Let there be light. There it is. It happened just as God designed it to be. It was without form. It was void. The preacher tonight, before Brother Bernard, preached from that passage and said, God can take what is without form and give it, you know, the fulfillment to be what he wants it to be. Void, there's not to be vacuums. You know, nature abhors a vacuum is what we hear. Okay, so God doesn't want you to be empty. God doesn't want you to just wander around trying to find something to satisfy, something to be fulfilling, something to minister to you. He has his power and his spirit. Praise God. So, amen. Sister Megan.
Psalm 4, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us.
All right. And I think it's number 6, right? That kind of a benediction, doxology, whatever that is quoted. And I'm not making fun of, you know, it's the Word of God. I'm not making fun of the way some people would use that as a closing and so on. It's good. His countenance can shine. Praise God. And I'm thankful. Where was that, Sister Megan? Psalm 4:6. All right, Sister Donna.
Yes. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. But not only was he in the light, in Revelation it says he is.
Right. He is. Amen. And thank God we are privileged to walk in that light. That's the light to our path and a lamp to our feet. He just provides. It's there. We benefit from it. Cleansing. Oh, my. Thank God for that cleansing. Because there's garbage that the devil wants to throw at you to remind you of your past. But the Lord cleanses us. Oh, thank God that we are delivered. Amen. Brother Perkins.
Revelation 22:5.
Okay, 22:5, Revelation. What a comparison. No candle, no sun. Amazing. Because no matter how small, no matter how great, not going to need it. He's the light.
Yes.
He's the one. Amen. Brother Brother Levi.
John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 7 says, that all men through him might.
John 1 and 4. That light was the life. Praise God. Plants bend towards the light. I turned the plant today. I want to see if it's tomorrow, if it's bent the other way now. How am I? We get started on creation and just incredible stuff that the Lord made. Didn't just happen. Had to be designed, had to be somebody with a mind, a mastermind to say, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to work. Amen. Okay, a whole bunch of hands waving over here. Sister Annette. All right, Psalm 139. It's kind of short, so you can find the verses there. But oh my, how powerful, how great. I'm thankful that even though the darkness, you know, we sang about the darkness trembling. Amen. Because the Lord dispels that darkness, and his light continues to shine. Amen. Sister Becca. All right, everlasting. We know the sun, the moon, the stars. By the way, it has to be dark to be able to see those for the most part, right? The sun, of course, is during the day. But don't fear the darkness. That's when the Lord can show his glory and in a lot of ways, of power and might. Brother Alex. All right. Praise God. Some things that are fearful, some things that we as people, as humanity, have no control over, the shadow of death and the darkness and so on. But God who said, let there be light. Praise God. How incredible. How amazing. Amen. Amen. Sister Sherry, it's good to have you home. Praise God. Lord, bless you. All right. Now, there's going to be changes. There's going to be dynamic and drastic changes. And that's what we've got to be ready for. Amen. Because we're not going to experience in this body. That's why you've got to be born again.
Yes.
Born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. And both are a part of the new birth. A 14-year-old boy in my church in Huna asked me, okay, if there's one birth, there's a new birth, how come there's born of the water and born of the Spirit? Ah, good question. Because it's still one birth. Amen. You're still moving into that realm of understanding and blessing that the Lord has for us. Praise God. And that change into immortality, incorruption, is going to make us arrive at that place that never changes. And the light continues forever. Praise God. Well, awesome. Thank you for contributing all of those verses. You touched on several that I wanted to provide. Job walked through darkness by his light, and God's candle shined on his head, Job 29 and 3. David's confidence, Psalm 18 and 28. Thou wilt be my, or thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I'm thankful that all of these verses about light are what we can hold on to when the enemy's trying to torment us with darkness. And he's trying to discourage, he's trying to pull down, he's trying to frighten, trying to make you afraid. Open that Bible and start reading those verses about light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Isaiah 55:11. If this was spoken by a politician or a philosopher or a person of great wealth, we might say, might happen. But this is spoken by Almighty God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Keep in mind who said that. Praise God. Your confidence in the Word of God needs to go sky high. Not only because we read it in the Bible, but because we've experienced it. We know it works. We've tried it, and it's true. And we know that God can do it for somebody else. Now, Psalm 68 and 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. And my Bible at home gives little hints as to what other word could be used in place. And in place of published, the margin said proclaimed. Proclaimed. And thank God, great is the company that can be involved in proclaiming that word, because the Lord gave it. And it needs to be shared. It needs to be a light for others to be able to find their way. So we learn the Word of God so we can know about Him. We obey the Word of God so that we can have salvation. We live the Word of God so that there can be spiritual growth. And we teach the Word of God with confidence because it works.
Yes.
Amen. That song that was sung some years back, The Blood Still Works. It was an exciting song. It's upbeat. And it's a hand clapper, foot stomping song. The blood still works. Praise God. And not just because it sounds good and it's lively and you can clap your hands and be excited about it, but we know it works. It washes us. It cleanses us. It frees us. Praise God. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me get to what I wanted to share tonight, preaching and teaching. Jesus taught to individuals, and he taught small groups. He asked questions. He brought them into attention to what he wanted. Nathaniel, Nicodemus, the woman at the well. Some think the use of parables. His use of parables is genius in being a master teacher. And we have the opportunity to read those parables and benefit from the instruction that he gave the disciples, and read the stories of these exchanges and conversations that the Lord had with people, and see their spiritual significance. No, he ministered to multitudes, and thank God multitudes are included in the book of Acts as well. Thousands were fed, thousands were taught. The time that the crowds lined the seashore of Galilee and the Lord asked Peter, can I sit in your boat and push it out and I'll talk to the crowd? And that's what he did. So he ministered to a good number of people. And then he took time to minister to one. Now, in the healing incidences, he asked questions. And you would think, you see somebody blind, that you would know what they'd want, right? They want to be healed. Why did he ask them what they wanted? Why did he take the time to question them? Wilt thou be made whole? He's been crippled for 38 years. And yet the Lord asked him, you want to be healed? Why did he do that? Bartimaeus is a beggar, the side of the Jericho road. He's in rags. He has some little pot or basket or something that he's begging alms. And he inquires, what's going on? Who's going by? Jesus of Nazareth is the answer. And so he begins crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, be quiet. He didn't have time for you. He upped the volume. And then Jesus came to him. And what did he say? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Why did he do that? Why did he take the time to ask what was obvious? Well, the two blind men who followed him and came to him in the house. You know, you think about that. Now, they're blind. How did they follow him? How did they arrive at the very house that Jesus was seated in? You talk about persistent and devoted, committed, however, they're blind. They want to be healed. And the Lord asks them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Instead of just going right into the miracle, there was this questioning. Why did he do that? Any idea? Brother Mike?
Some people don't want to be healed.
That's a strange dilemma. Because if they're healed, you know, that man, 38 years with his infirmity, people carried him to the pool. They carried him back. They brought him food. They made sure he didn't starve, made sure his water jug was full. He had a change of clothes. If you're healed, you get up and work. You take care of others who are in that condition. Be responsible. Follow through. You know, you would think that, boy, automatically, I want to be healed. And instead of a request for being healed, he had excuses. That's amazing. Anybody else got a thought? Sister Donna.
I was just wondering if it had anything to do with clarifying their thoughts and focusing them onto exactly what they wanted.
And the Lord would know. The Lord would know, but he wants them to zero in. Kind of like Abraham on the mountain offering Isaac, the Lord saying, now I know that you would not withhold your only son. The Lord already knew that. He wanted Abraham to know that. He wanted Abraham to take the steps of total commitment. Okay, so it's a clarification that's got to be at work. Somebody else over here. Yeah, Sister Sherry. It's a request, isn't it? Let your requests be made known unto God. And that Ephesians 3 and 20 that I love to break it down, you know, the thinking and then the asking, the thinking and asking, and then all that we think or ask. Well, we won't go through the whole thing, but we recognize Got to ask. Okay, so obviously there was the involvement that he wanted. Not just a magic trick, not just a carnival atmosphere, not just what do you want? And then the recognition that it's going to be there. Remember the centurion? He told the Lord of his servant being sick of the palsy. That centurion was obviously a godly man, because as a captain in the Roman army, he could be calloused, he could be mean, he could be your problem. You know, discard the servant who is sick just on the side of the road and go and claim another one. But no, he came to the Lord knowing he is a healer and said, my servant is sick. And the Lord said, I'll come and heal him. And the servant said, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Speak the word only. Wow. Now remember, the word made flesh is who he's talking to. And his ability to speak that word and bring healing is a given for what the Lord is able to provide. Praise God. And Jesus marveled at his faith. And in the same hour, that servant was healed. Go thy way, the Lord told him. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So the man being honored by his faith, the Lord marveling at his faith, and then it being done the way it happened. Now, I've got to hurry on. Jesus emphasized teaching after the resurrection. If it was me, there would have been a big celebration. There would have been a parade. There would have been a crusade. Hey, everybody, come and see the resurrected Lord. Come and hear him preach again. Come and see him do miracles. You know, would you have done it that way? Now, the Lord took time to gather the 12 and say, or 11 now, and say, this is what I want you to do. And spend time with them opening the word of God. Luke 24 and 27, the two on the road to Emmaus, about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. They're walking along. They're talking about what happened in Jerusalem. Jesus appears. They don't know it's him. What are you talking about? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what's happened recently? What's happened? And they start telling about Jesus. He's the one we had hope in. He's the one we were looking for. And he's been crucified. And today is the third day. Nothing clicked when they said that. After Jesus telling him time after time after time, the third day he's going to rise again. They even said the third day, but it didn't click. But Jesus helped them to understand. 24 and 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the fulfillment of what the scriptures prophesied. He took time with those two. Those two turned around and went running back to Jerusalem. 7.5 miles back. That'd be like us taking a road trip to McDonald's, okay? All in the same night. Go one way and then all the way back, 15 miles. And they got to all of the disciples who were gathered, and they began to tell them what Jesus said. And at the same time, Jesus appeared to all of them. And in verse 44, Luke 24, he spoke of the fulfillment of Moses in the prophets and in the Psalms. Verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Why was he doing that? Why wasn't there the multitudes that he had ministered to? Why wasn't there the big crowds that he could invite? He wanted to invest in those individuals. And they, in turn, oh my, incredible revival, incredible move of God. And he commissioned them to teach all nations teaching them to observe. This is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The New Living Translation says, go and make disciples, those who are going to follow, those who are going to be disciplined, discipline themselves to follow after the Lord and not just be wishy-washy and do whatever. The fivefold ministry, I'm emphasizing teaching now. The fivefold ministry includes teachers. There's apostles, there's prophets, there's pastors, there's evangelists, and apparently important enough to the Lord for the church to have teachers. Amen. Aquila and Priscilla is who might come to mind. They were fellow workers with Paul. They'd been kicked out of Rome. All the Jews had to leave Rome. And so they're working with Paul. They're tent makers, which was the same trade Paul had. And so they're in the area with Paul, and they heard a young man named Apollos. Apollos was from Alexandria, Egypt. And as such, he would be educated and able to follow Greek thought teaching and so on. But he was mighty in Scripture. He was fervent in the Spirit, but he only knew the baptism of John. But yet he knew about the Scriptures concerning the Messiah. And that's what they heard him teaching. Well and good, but he needed more. And so what did they do? The Bible says they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Praise God. Just like the Lord expounded the word to his disciples. Now they take Apollos and they expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. How did they do that? Teaching. They just took the time to teach him. Teaching the word of God. Amen. And thank the Lord that there is that power. And let me just ask now. There are two groups in particular, two large groups, denominations I'm talking about, religious groups. They really focus on going door to door, and they really focus on teaching studies. I won't call it Bible studies, but they teach studies. You got in your mind who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, let me see a show of hands. How many have had them knock on your door? They've knocked on your door. They've tried to give you, you know, their material, and they want to talk to you. And, you know, the good thing about talking to them is just, you know, cut to the chase. How do you baptize? And then your book says, and it does, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's a good way to... Thank you. Now, they're consistent. They're persistent. The pandemic, or rather our government's reaction to the virus, kind of put the kibosh on the door-to-door and church attendance, like we know, had to go to court to get that lifted. My goodness. So the rate of attrition for them is high, just like maybe for us as well. But they still have very large numbers, and that door-to-door stuff apparently works, and their teaching recruits members. It works for them. It works for politicians. I got an email from a politician who said she knocked on 7,839 doors so far in her campaign. 7,839. Huh. She wants to hear from people, she says. And she believes she can make a difference. Well, that persistence is what follows them through. Now, have you heard the term treaching? I think Brother Tenney, the late Brother Tenney, is probably the one who coined that term, treaching. What he means by it is a combination of teaching and preaching. Preachers love to preach. And teaching often shifts to preaching. So the overall result is more preaching than teaching. Now, Paul used both, preaching and teaching. And we might feel pressure like I'm feeling now. It's already time to start looking at closing, and I'm partway through. Might feel pressure to present the material, so end up preaching to save time. I won't ask you questions. I won't ask what's your favorite scripture. I won't ask how many have had somebody knock on their door. I'll just skip all of that so I can preach. Praise God. But if the setting is for teaching, teach. Okay? And teaching style is going to include a difference in preaching. We hear about the Socratic method. The Socratic method, Socrates, that Greek philosopher, we don't espouse what he teaches, but his method was question and answer. And actually, it was argumenting. They had arguments, and they would voice their opinions, kind of like what Paul experienced on Acts 17, Mars Hill. You know, what's this babbler have to say? And so the question and answer thing, however, is good because it brings about participation, involvement, engagement, and you're pulling your students in, amen. And you have to be good at managing the time to maximize the amount of material that you're going to present. Now, let me ask you, how many have taught a home Bible study? And by home Bible study now, I'm talking about the formal chart. You flip the charts with somebody. How many have taught? Exploring God's Word, Search for Truth, Christ of Every Crisis. Okay, not quite half of us. And that's good. That's good. And we want to continue to do that. Now, let me encourage you. You don't have to feel like you've got to preach. You don't have to be loud and animated and spraying everybody across the table, you know, and so on. No, just teach. Use your normal conversational voice. You'll feel anointing. You'll feel excited. And there will be a tendency to get a bit more involved there. But only Brother Cornwell can get away with talking about the flood. And God saw one nose sticking up out of the water, and he pushed it down with his finger. Only Brother Cornwell can do that. He's something else. But you don't have to preach the lesson. Just teach it. Take questions. Take time to explain. Take time to involve them. If they feel comfortable in reading the scripture, let them read the important passages. They don't have to read it all. Some of the names are really hard to pronounce. And you just take the time to do it. Praise God. And in your time, hold it under an hour. Hold it under an hour. In fact, less than an hour is even better. And if you only have time to finish a couple of pages, that's all right. That's all right. Just do a thorough job. Involvement, participation, engaging, question and answer, teach. And let the Word of God do the work. Now, I just want to explain, we have a lot of other outreach methods that we're using now, but I want you to use home Bible study, okay? I don't know if I'm barking up the wrong tree or what's going on, but I want you to teach home Bible studies. Now, I write an article in the paper about every other month, and on the bottom of the paper, I can include a bio. I can say, Mitch Glover is the pastor of Sterling Pentecostal Church. Services on Thursday are at 7 o'clock. On Sunday, Bible lesson for all ages at 10 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock, worship service. Come and enjoy the services. and check out SterlingPentecostalChurch.com. Okay, I'm allowed to do that. So we have newspaper outreach. Our website. I was in the store, and a man was looking at me intently. And Mike and I were trying to get coffee, and he came back over and asked, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am. I pastor the Sterling Pentecostal Church here." And he said, "I saw your picture in the website this morning." That's why he was staring at me. He was trying to figure out if I was the same character, I guess. But him and his family were here in church on Sunday. Okay? So our website is working. Very good. We have had more guests in this part of the year, this latter part of the year, than we've had in any other time of the year. Keep going. You're doing good. Keep it up. Praise God. Keep inviting. Keep contacting. Keep calling. Amen. And keep teaching truth. Keep going. Now, you're always teaching. Your lifestyle is always teaching. What you say, how you look, how you act, all of that is teaching. Now, the Word of God is truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. And John 17:20, if you would put that one on the screen, Brother Levi, John 17:20. Here's the Lord praying for his disciples. And he said, I haven't just prayed for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see the connection? By extension, I am claiming that the Lord has prayed for you to teach his truth. And that he's already prayed for those that you're reaching out to. Now, with that kind of connection, you can't lose. You can't miss. You can't fail. Praise God. Now, I can't make people take a Bible study. And when I taught Search for Truth in Ketchikan back in the 80s, I could get to Lesson 3. Lesson 3 is the tabernacle. The tabernacle has the plan of salvation. And that's as far as I got with some people. Put the brakes on, shut the door. Hurt me, made me feel bad, but there's somebody else that's going to receive it. There's somebody else that I can share this word with. Praise God. So, here we go. Praise God. And there were others that were receptive to it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. It's your word. It's your witness. It's your work. Praise God. And the Lord honors his word. Remember, he sent them forth to teach. And they went forth, Mark 16:20. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Wow. That sounds like quite a campaign, quite a means of success. They went forth. They didn't wait for them to come. They went out to where they were. They preached everywhere. Claim 2 Corinthians 2:14. Claim that. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us every place. Praise God. Every living room, every coffee shop. Amen. The Lord can do it. And the Lord working with them. I like the 1 Corinthians 3:9 that lets us know we are laborers together with God. So what does he confirm? He confirms the word. That's what we're going to teach. That's what we're going to hold on to. It's the light. Praise God. It's the truth. We teach the word and we will see the signs. Praise God. We can't force people. We can't make people, our outreach deals, I gave out 60 coupons for a free hot dog to the hospital staff, the ER staff. And I thought for sure, man, this is good. This is going to promote our name. This is going to let them know where the new hot dog location is. This is awesome. 3 coupons got turned in. What in the world? Any more get turned in? Wow. That's amazing. I'd have been right there saying, hey, I got a coupon for a free hot dog. Can I have it right now? 3 out of 60? Now, the outreach methods, we've tried. There's more that we can try. We'll keep trying. But teach Bible studies. You want to identify with your pastor's heartbeat? Teach Bible studies. Let's stand. And by Bible study, of course, you can open the scripture and you can go to John 3, you can go to Acts 2, you can go 8, 10, 19, and so on. You can do that. But I also want exploring God's word, search for truth, Christ of every crisis, Brother Farmer's list of scriptures, you know, that whole process that may take multiple times. And then finish it and let them come and get a certificate, praise God, and we'll celebrate. Amen. As I think there's going to be lots to celebrate. Because everyone you win has got a circle that you haven't touched, that we don't know, but they can. And then another one, and the circle just keeps expanding. It just keeps growing. Praise God. And oh my, what power and what blessing is there. Thank the Lord. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to ask the Lord, use me. Use me. And use me to teach. Use me to testify. Use me to invite. Just use me. Let's ask the Lord to do that. Oh God.